Fish. Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm in a little better mood today. Yeah, I'm in a little better mood today. Got a little bit of venting out of my system yesterday. Appreciate some of you coming back to be part of us here today. Man, you know, today is June 20th, and it is what do they call this? The summer equinox. Is that what this is called? Equinox, equal night and equal day. That is today. And I just had an argument with Sarge. Not an argument. Sarge said, no, coach, it's tomorrow. It's the 21st. I didn't say this, but I'm going to say it now. No, Sarge. The new day begins at sunset. So officially the 21st, from a biblical perspective, the 21st begins at sunset tonight. So remember when in the Bible, Genesis, God always works from darkness to light. We're reading the scriptures, it says it was the evening and then the morning, and that was the first day. All right, well, do I have to do that real quick? Because you guys think I'm crazy. We're the ones that start in the morning and call that the new day. But that's not what it teaches. Sundown. Sundown begins the new day. My Genesis is all chewed up here. And the evening. There it was. Oh, there it is again. Verse 19 of Genesis 1. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Here it is. So God, verse 16, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the heavens, in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. 19. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God always moves from darkness into light. Interesting, isn't it? Why a lot of things in the Bible happens at sunset and sundown and all that. Got a lot to share with you today. I always say that, but I do. Woke up this morning actually in a excited mood. I've got some emails I want to share with you. Got some things that are going on in the world that are driving me a little bit batty. I got a couple slots open here in the queue. We're back to the old queue today, 10-person queue. So if you want to join it, you have to go to CoachDaveLive.com, click on Join the Queue, and come on in. We'd love to have you be part of the party. Some of you say, I can never get in. Well, today's one of those days when you would be able to get in. I want to show you this. Let me ask you this. Was Jesus always nice? Was Jesus always nice? That came to my mind a few times when we were at the Pride Parade. Pride, just think about that. Pride. A parade of pride. And I always used to tell our kids when I was teaching school that you guys, I taught troubled kids. And I always told them, I said, you know, here's your problem. You're proud of what you ought to be ashamed of. And you're ashamed of what you ought to be proud of. And those of us who went to that pride parade know this. Those people aren't really proud. They're not really proud of what they do. They're really not. It's a false pride. But we also know that pride becometh before a fall. We know that pride, the end result of pride is destruction. Pride cometh before destruction. To think that we're out there in the pride parade, and I don't know how many times I bit my thumb and bit my lip, and when that girl threw that beer in my face, and I was sat there and I was enraged. I was enraged. And I stood up and I said to her, sweetheart, the Holy Spirit just saved your life. When really, probably what she deserved was a slap. I mean, she probably deserved a slap. You see, there we are once again. We're playing by two different sets of rules, see. They're able to be debaucherous and spit at you and throw beers at you and blow horns at you. They're allowed to do all that stuff. And we as Christians, see, they hold us to a different standard. And those God haters out there, they love to tell us how a Christian ought to behave. They love to do it. And not only do they love to tell us how a Christian ought to behave, they expect us to believe and act like a Christian ought to behave. And then they run right over the top of us. And I got thinking about it. Was Jesus always nice? You know, when Jesus cleansed the temple, where is that? Somebody know where that is? I'm going to ride that horse a minute. When Jesus cleansed the temple, did he go in there and share with them the love of Jesus and let them know how much he loved them and they just need to come to Jesus? Is that what Jesus did when he went in that temple? Is he supposed to be our model, our guide? Jared pulled it up there for us. Let's go right down there. Jared, let's slide back. Jared's in Matthew 21. Let's see what's going on. Hey, good to see you there, Jeff. Came in here. Vincent just jumped in there with us. Good to see you guys. Let me click on that again, Jared. Verse 10. When he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who the heck is this guy?" And the multitude said, "Boy, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Watch this. And Jesus went into the temple of God, cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and told them how much Jesus loved them, and just come and sit on my lap. And does he even mention anything about salvation at all? Does he even mention anything about that? Can you imagine? Hey, guys, can you imagine walking into a flea market and start flipping over some tables? Can you imagine that? That's real loving, isn't it? And what did Jesus say to him? "Oh, boys, please just accept me and receive me as your Lord and Savior, and then you won't want to do this anymore." Is that what he said? No, it says that he said unto them as he flipped over those tables, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." I think there's another description of this. Usually in my reference, hang on here, Jared, we're on Matthew 21. Let's see if there isn't another reference to, because he did a little bit more than that. He did a little bit more than that. He grabbed a whip. Where is that, Lord? Show me where that is, Lord. Matthew 21. 21. Where else does it stop? No. No. Luke 24. No. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to get stuck on it. He made a whip. You know that? You know that Jesus made a cat of nine tails when he saw it? Do you know that when he entered into the temple and he saw what was going on in the temple, he went and made a cat of nine tails? I'm sorry. This just came into my spirit. Otherwise, I would have it for you. So, Jared, Google that. See if you can. When Jesus makes a whip, he makes a whip. In other words, Jesus walks in. He sees what the debauchery is going on, and he does not go in there and tell them how much God loves them. He does not do that. He actually goes in, and he sees what's going on, and he makes a whip. John 2, verse 15. John 2, 15, Jared came up with there. Let's see what he does. Does he walk in there and see him turning his house into a den of thieves and goes, "Oh, boy, you just need to come to Jesus and come over here and sit on my lap and be nice to everybody because I love you"? And is that what he did? 2:15. Here we are, verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. They didn't hang around long. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple, Jared, those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. Watch this. Wow. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, when he had made himself a whip, do you get this picture? He walks in, he sees what's going on, and he says, give me a couple minutes here. And he goes over and he makes a whip, a scourge of small cords. The dude went over and made a whip. He didn't get up on a rock and tell them all to come to Jesus. I love you just the way you are. I so love the world that I gave my only begotten son that whosoever. He didn't do that. No, he didn't. Because if you remember, the first sermon he preached was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Remember that? Huh? So here he is. When he made a scourge of the small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things out of here. Don't make my father's house a house of merchandise. And the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has been eaten up. And then the Jews said unto him, what are you doing this for? Why are you doing it? Jesus said, you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up. Then said the Jews, 40 in 6 years was this temple building, and wilt thou tear it up in 3 days? He spoke of his body, and they didn't understand it. Was Jesus always Mr. Nice? Huh? Say, I want to be Christ-like. Okay, all right. Get yourself a whip. Get yourself a whip. Want to be Christ-like? Get yourself a whip. See, they play us for games, right? They play us for games. By coach, be Christ-like. Okay, I'm going to go into the church, and I'm going to flip over some things in there that I think are demonic and diabolical. I'm going to go up and go break some of those statues. I'm going to start, well, they're going to say, no, you need to be Christ-like. Well, I am being Christ-like. I remember when Jesus is being arrested. Peter whips out his sword. Y'all remember that? Peter whips out his sword. And Jesus said, Peter, put away your sword. And he told Pilate, when he's before Pilate, before the Sanhedrin, I can't remember who it was, which group it was. I'm sorry, this is coming right out of me. Jesus said to him, don't you know that I could call the angels down right now, whoop all of you? Don't you guys know that? But I said, I ain't going to do that because I'm going to fulfill what I came to do. He said that, right? He said, hey, dude, you dudes need your butt kicked, and I could do that right now. But I'm going to fulfill what Father sent me to do. See, do you think Jesus ever got angry? Those of you who want to tell us that anger is sin? Oh, you're angry, you're sinful. No, Jesus said, be angry and sin not. Jesus said, you ought to get ticked off. Then but watch how you react when you do get ticked off. And Jesus got ticked off, and he did exactly what his mother taught him to do. He went over and sat on the corner, and he counted to 10. And he made him a whip. When he got through counting to 10, he said, okay, now I'm calmed down. Let's go, boys. And he went in the temple, and he ripped that thing to shreds. Does anybody think I'm making this up? Huh? Hey, JR, be Christ-like. George, be Christ-like. All right, baby, here I come. So there we are down at the homosexual pride parade. And we are nothing but whipping posts. We are. We are. It's amazing how the left, the God haters, always, as I said earlier, always want to make us follow the Bible. They always want us to. Sometimes I feel like making a whip. Sometimes I do. Because you do know this, don't you? That the day came when Jesus told them, go sell your cloak, buy a sword. Hey, Jared, Google that one real quick. See, you guys, you serve the God you see. Are you hearing me? You serve the God you see. And if you see God being Mother Teresa or Mr. Rogers, that's God you're going to see serve. But if you see him being that mighty God of Revelation 21, I think it is, 12, whichever one, I'll find it here in a second. Did you find it there, Jared? I don't remember what I told you. Oh, okay. Go back up to 30, Jared. This is Luke. Luke 22, verse 30. Oh, I love this. I love it. Don't get me going on this one. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you Verse 33, and he said unto them, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both into prison and to death, Peter says. And the Lord said, I'll tell you, Peter, for the cock crows this day, you will deny me three times. And then he said unto them, you're with me? Are you with me? See, this is in the Bible, just like God loves. God is love. This is in the Bible too. And he said unto them, verse 35, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, did you lack anything? And they said, no, Lord, we didn't lack anything. And he said unto them, okay, boys, but now he that has a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. He said unto them, cool. That's enough. Sword in both hands. I'm going to pause there because somebody listening right now has got something to say. Who is it? Serve the God you see. See, we're going to make them more and more scared because they think we are militant. And I'm not militant at all. Not militant at all. But I'm Christ-like. I want to be Christ-like. And I want to hate evil just like Christ hates evil. That's what I want to do. I'm not the Son of God, okay? I didn't die on a cross. I wasn't a perfect man. But the same Christ, the same Spirit to raise Christ from the dead now is alive inside me. And I would like to replicate, mimic what he does. I want to be Christ-like. I want to have inside me I want to have the hope of glory inside me. And I'm not so sure that means let him run over the top of it. I don't know how I got on that one today, but I'm done on that one today. See, here's what they do. The left, the God haters, make us put on the sissy Jesus. They make us put on the sissy Jesus. Hey, Jared, I hate to do this to you, but I'm sorry, guys. I got to do this. It's on my heart. Jared, let's find out, where is that? When he washes the mud out of the blind man's eye. That's in Matthew. Hang on, stay with me. Scribe, there it is, there it is, there it is, there it is. There it is. Jared, go to Matthew 23. Hey, Lindo, I just got to do this, okay? I just got to do this for all my... I just got to do this. Matthew 23. I'll be done here in a minute. And go to verse 13, Jared. And Jesus said, verse 9, and Jesus said, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be you called masters, for one's your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you, he shall become the servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled and abased. He that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And then watch him. Watch him share the gospel with him. You ready? But woe unto you, you scribes, Pharisees, you hypocrites. Hey, Lindell, you feel the love? You feel the love coming from him? Jared, you feel that? Hey, Jeff, feel that love of Jesus coming through there? You hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither sup you, than they're entering in. Woe unto you, you scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, you scribes and you hypocrites. If you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made one, then you turn him into a twofold child of hell. He's worse than you. Verse 16, woe unto you, you blind guides. Verse 17, you fools, blind. You guys feeling the love of Jesus coming here? You feeling it coming to him? I'm just being Christ-like. I'm just trying to be Christ-like. You fools, 19. You blind, which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctified the gift? Verse 20, 3. Woe unto you, scribes, you hypocrites! You pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Hey, stay there, Jared. Woe unto you, pastors, you hypocrites! For you collect tithes from your people, but you have ignored the weightier matters of the law, abortion, debauchery, homosexuality. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but with inside you're full of all extort. I could go on and 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 on. Won't be Christ-like? You say, what, coach, that's Jesus. That's Jesus speaking. Hey, wait a minute. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives within me. Life I now live, I live by the grace of the Son of God died for. I have the nature of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. And can somebody please tell me where the mind of Christ creates an effeminate roll over me guy? See, one of the signs that we took, they said it was confusing. One of the signs we took to the march said, submission is strength. Submission is strength. Do you have any idea how strong Christ was to submit? The strength that that took. Do you have any idea how strong it was, how strong he had to be to submit to what his Father wanted him to do rather than what his nature wanted him to do? There were times when I went to that, when I was at that gay pride parade, that I wanted to do one thing, but I submitted to the Holy Spirit, which asked me to do another thing. That's submission. That's strength. That's strength. But there are times when some of those people, I believe, need judgment, justice. They do.
Coach, the devil is in the extremes and in all things balance. Today's church is peace, love, joy, understanding, and forgiveness.
Yep. Yep.
But we don't talk about that other side. And we need to talk.
We don't? Well, Jared just threw up there on the screen the definition of justice, the maintenance or administration of what it is just, especially by the impartial adjustments of collecting claims or the assignment of merited rewards or punishments. A judge. C, the administration of law. 2, the quality of being just, impartial, questioning the justice of their decision. B, the principle or ideal of just dealing or right action. Conformity to truth.
Hey, Coach.
George.
You know, but that's a huge problem, is our judicial system is not just. So it's therefore, not, right? It's an unlevel playing field. You know, if our judicial system was just, then it would be much easier, because we have take the law in our own hands, or we have an unjust judicial system. So really, we got to get back to where we get people being true Christians, You know, so
George,
where we have a level playing field.
George, you brought up a great, great topic. You don't even know that you did, I don't think. What does it mean to take law in your own hands? And is that wrong? To take the law in your own hands. So when I see injustice going on, if I'm out with my wife, my beautiful wife, and some people come up and begin to assault her, and nobody will put a stop to it, is that a time to take the law into my own hands? Why has that become a negative? Take the law into your own hands. Can I tell you really why we're in the mess we're in? Can I tell you really why we are? Because most of us don't want to suffer the consequences of doing what we know to be right. We don't want to suffer the consequences. And so therefore, we love to make statements like, take the law into your own hands, or, well, we have to obey the law. Which law? but obey which law? Which law are we commanded to obey? What if we stand before Almighty God and he says, why didn't you do something about that? And I said, well, Lord, I was just obeying the law. He's going to look at us and say, what? Obeying the law? Did you read in the Bible where it says you to obey me, not man? Did you read that? And see, we don't want to pay that price. So I'm going to show you something here. Y'all ready? I know you are. This is good. Sitting down, JR? Here we go. Hey, Jared, pull it up there for me, buddy. My computer's acting a little crazy this morning. Say, what? Pull up what, coach? Man, quit it, computer. No, I don't want to. I don't want to do that. I want to get rid of this thing. That's not what I want yet, Jared. You're ahead of me. My computer went black on me here. Hang on. Okay, there we go. Jared, pull up where it says stuff. Yeah, pull that one up. Jared, pull up topless. Pull up topless real quickly. Here we are, boys. NBC4.com. That's right here in Columbus, Ohio. There this week, after they just had the Homo Fest here in town, now they're having what's called Com Fest, Community Fest. But it's just another debaucherous activity, basically in the same place. And would you look at this? Huh? Are you looking? Are you watching? Com Fest organizers, this is today, June 19th, file federal lawsuit against liquor agents to allow women to go topless. There it is. Let's read what this attorney says. Scroll down a minute, Jared. Here it is. Just days ahead of its opening, the organizers of Columbus Community Festival have filed a federal lawsuit seeking an injunction against law enforcement agencies from punishing women for going topless at this popular event. By the way, it's outdoors, outside, in the park, open park, anybody can come. According to organizers, the state liquor agents with the Ohio Investigative Unit have allegedly threatened to file charges or shut down alcohol sales at the festival if topless women are allowed to attend and remain at the festival. And so this great lawyer says, applying a strip club regulation to a three-day political festival like ComFest in a public park is ridiculous and unconstitutional. Female festival goers who uncover their breasts are exercising their First Amendment rights. And ComFest cannot and will not remove them from the festival. It's well-established law that all genders may be topless in Good Ale Park. Here we go. Hey, Sarge, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Man.
Bring the cord.
He'd bring him a cord, wouldn't he? Hey, Sarge, what would happen if you brought a cord? Well, they'd throw you in jail. Sometimes that's a cost to standing up for right. But boy, then would you be there would be editorial after letter to the editor from the church apologizing for you being so mean. They'd be apologizing for you being so Christ-like. You shouldn't be doing that. Shouldn't be doing that. I got some good stuff here. Jared, let's go here. I got an email from Don. Pull that up there, Jared. It says email from Don. I want to read this to you. I didn't ask Don's permission, so I'm not going to use his name. I was copied on this email. But we have great fruit from our event. Here's an email. The reach out is on target. He's talking about the event. I don't know if Coach told you, but I called his cell phone the weekend you two got together in Wisconsin. This is one guy in Wisconsin writing to Rob Pugh, who's in Wisconsin. Trying to meet him, and it didn't happen. I thank God for this past weekend, though it's for sure our ways are not the Lord's ways. I guess I had to see all this in action and meet people face to face, see what really means to stand in the gap on Christ's behalf. Wow. That's what I was truly looking for. It was a breath of spiritual fresh air to see men and women of like mind awaken to what's happening in our world today, getting involved in true discipleship and making a difference. It was truly uplifting, and the fellowship was terrific. I was moved by the Holy Spirit to take the step of faith, and the Lord showed me a minute in it for a minute in his heart the deep felt pain for the souls of those being deceived and the need for men to be a conduit as witnesses to spread the true gospel message of soulful repentance. The many faces that changed from evil jubilee to, oh no, what have I done? As our signs caught their gaze, was enough to see that the Lord was at work convicting those souls whom he deemed still had an opportunity to choose. The world's a better place because the Lord has bold, gentle men like the both of you. Praise God. Now I have a hope to keep our country free for my children and my grandchildren. Thanks to all those involved in the Salt and Light Brigade, both the ones I met and yet haven't. Every strong man needs a strong woman to back him up. Thank your wonderful spouses for me as well. And then watch this. I have two God-hungry men as sons that are looking for the same. Joshua married and recently first-time fathered living in Burlington. And Jonathan married and is living in Green Bay. We have over the last year talked about getting like-minded men involved in similar things as what happened this past weekend. On my way home from this weekend event, I stopped to wish Josh a happy Father's Day for his first year as a father. After giving testimony to the weekend's events, watching posted video, discussing your interest in starting to develop these type of opportunities in Wisconsin, Josh was enthusiastic to be part of it. I'm looking forward to meeting you to discuss in more depth. I'll speak to you soon. May God bless you all. Look at this. No longer a lone sheep in Wisconsin. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, baby. Hey, Sarge, they're out there by the hundreds and by the thousands. These guys are out there waiting for somebody to connect them. Amen. I didn't tell you this. He brought his grandson with him. He brought his grandson with him. No, that's the wrong guy. Amen. 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 Next thing I want to show you. Somebody would say something. No? It's all right. I don't want to show that one. Okay, Jared. Let's go to the stuff. I have to touch on this again this morning. Guys, I can't help it when the Lord pokes me in the chest. And he poked me in the chest this morning. And so I'm going to bring up another topic that's going to make a lot of you uncomfortable and probably a lot of you mad. If I see one more Facebook posting about people going on foreign mission trips, I think I'm going to scream. Now, Jesus said, you shall, Jared, find this scripture for me, please, so they don't think I'm crazy. I'm going to show you something that's going to, you shall be my witnesses. Find that, Jared. You shall be witnesses. After the Holy Spirit comes, it's in Acts. You shall be my witnesses. Acts 1:8. Thank you, Jared. Pull it up there. Acts 1, verse 8. And being assembled, I'm going to start at verse 4. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Hey, time out a minute. He told them not to depart from Jerusalem. Hey, George, what is Jerusalem? Don't think super spiritually. What is Jerusalem? Wait a minute, George. Let me ask you this, George. What is Tulsa?
A city.
It's a city. It'd be our more, Jerusalem.
In relationship to you, what is Tulsa? It's where you live.
Where I live, yeah.
It's where you live. Right? What is Jerusalem in this? Right? What is Jerusalem in this right here? What is Jerusalem? Jerusalem's where they live. It's where they live. And being assembled with them, commanded them that they should not leave Jerusalem. Don't leave home. Stay right where you are. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which his Father hath put in his own power. Watch this. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in your hometown, then in Judea, and then in Samaria, and then to the othermost parts of the world. Are you with me? You shall be witnesses in Tulsa. Then you shall be witnesses in all of Oklahoma. And then you shall be witnesses in the United States of America. And then you can go to the rest of the world. Does anybody read that any differently than me? And if you're not a witness in Jerusalem, you ain't got no business in Guatemala.
Amen.
Thank you. Does anybody disagree with what that says right there?
Nope.
Does anybody disagree with it? And you know why I'm sick of it? Because the people who are going to Guatemala ain't witnesses where they live. They are not witnesses where they live. And they want to go to Guatemala and want to do all these great spiritual things in Guatemala, and they ain't even doing it at home. Now, wait a minute. If you're doing it at home, then you can go to Guatemala. But if you ain't doing it at home, you ain't got no business going someplace else and doing it. And by the bus loads and the plane loads, they're going to the uttermost parts of the world. All right, you sitting down? Are you sitting down? Jared, pull up Religion by Nation. This is Wikipedia, although I don't always trust Wikipedia. If I'm not a witness in Hebron, I ain't got no business being in Columbus. And if I'm not a witness in Hebron and Columbus, I ain't got no business being a witness in Cincinnati or New York. And I sure as heck don't have any business being a witness in Guatemala or Haiti. Here we go. Christianity by country. First of all, Jared, let's scroll down and find out the good old U.S. of A for us. Let's have a comparison here. It's clear down at the bottom, as you can imagine. Right there. Stop right there, Jared. United States. Jared's marker's right on it. The United States, the second column over, says the percentage of people in the United States that are Christian. Jared, go over. What does it say? Just take your mouse over there, Jared. What percentage? Right there. What percentage of people in the United States are Christian? 71%. Cool. Keep that in mind, Sarge. 71%. Hey, Jared, let's scroll to Guatemala. Let's see how they're doing. Let's scroll back up to Guatemala and see what percentage of those people are Christians. Because we got to get over there and we got to go evangelize the folks in Guatemala. Stay there, Jared. Click on Guatemala. What do we find here? I don't know why I'm picking on Guatemala. That's the one I read this morning. Scroll over, Jared. What percentage of them are? 87% of people in Guatemala are Christians. 87%. Where's another place we like to go? Let's go to Honduras. Let's go to Honduras. That's a nice warm climate. Let's go to Honduras. What's happening, Jared? Why, my goodness, 88% of people in Honduras are already Christians. 88%. Haiti. I want to go to Haiti. Oh, let's go to Haiti. They're poor over there. See, we think Christian means being rich. Let's go to Haiti. Let's go to how many there in Haiti, George? Hey, Jared, you read that one for me because they ain't going to believe it. America's 71%. Most of them abroad and high last week. Downtown Columbus, they're abroad and high. 71% of Americans are Christian. 71%. Hey, Jared, read that number for me because they ain't going to believe it. What's it say there, Jared?
Haiti's 96%.
96%. See, we equate poverty with not being Christian. We want to go to Haiti and share the gospel because they're poor, when they're probably deeper spiritually than we are. Hey, listen. Hey, when's the last time you heard somebody say, let's go to Iran. Let's go share the gospel in Iran. Check them out, Jared. Chad just said some of those involved Catholic, what he doesn't consider to be Christian. I agree with that, too. But they're Christian-based anyway. What is an Iran? Well, there we go. Let's go. Let's take a missions trip to Iran. 0.4. Is that what it says, Jared? 0.4% Christian. That'd be a good place to go. Let's go to Laos. What's Laos? Why, it's 2.2. Yeah, let's go to Laos. Take them some Christianity. Hey, Jared, let's go to Russia. What's Russia, I wonder? Because Putin's in charge of America, as we all know. Let's get us a mission trip to Russia. QRS Russia. Russia is 77% Christian. Russia has more Christians than America. Now, it has an asterisk there. It says 46%. I don't know what that says. It means something. Let's go to Saudi Arabia. That's 5%. Most of them are hiding. Come on. Somebody give me another nice, warm vacation area that we could go to evangelize. Can somebody give me another good one we could go to? How about what's the one that out there in the middle of Gulf of Mexico? People love to go to Bermuda. No,
Cuba,
Kenya. What's that?
Your way, Cuba.
Cuba. Oh, that'd be a place to go. Wait, stay right there, Jared. Kenya. We could go to Kenya. It's 85% Christian. Haiti, we see what that is, 96%. Go to Cuba. What's Cuba? Is this blowing your doors off? Is this blowing your door? Cuba, 59. Even in communist Cuba, 59% of the people are Christian. Now, I'm going to shock you. Go to Britain. Maybe wouldn't be under great, would be under Great Britain, probably. Oh, I love the truth. United Kingdom, 59%. Sounds to me like we ought to be going to the UK, boys. We ought to be sending disciples. We ought to be sending missionaries to the UK and missionaries to America, it seems to me. That's what we ought to be doing. Instead, we're sending them to warm climates. We're sending them down to South America. Let's go to Peru, down there where Lindell is. I wonder how many Christians there are in Peru. Man, I'm going to run out of time. Peru, they're A-P-E-R, they're, hey, Lindell, 87%, bud. Peru's more Christian than America. Okay, anybody want another? Do you have a nation of choice? Jerusalem, your hometown. Judea, your state. Samaria, your country. And then the other most parts.
How about Ecuador?
Ecuador, yeah, that's a nice warm spot. It'd be good to have a vacation in Ecuador. Check that one out for us, Jared. Let's take a missions trip to Ecuador. There it is, Jared, Ecuador. Well, they're only 94%. We got to get some missionaries down there. They're only 94%. Let's go. How about Brazil? Let's check out Brazil. Maybe we better run down to Brazil, get them all saved down in Brazil. Why, they're 90%.
Venezuela.
Come on now, think of some of all these nice warm climates that people like to go for these exotic mission trips. We're sending missionaries to all these places. And there weren't any missionaries at Broad and High Street in Columbus, Ohio. There weren't any missionaries there. What did you say, Don? I forgot which one you said. I got yakking some bad.
Venezuela.
Venezuela, that's only 88%. They're really pagan. Venezuela's 88%. Hey, Jared, let's organize a trip to Yemen. Yemen. Let's organize a missions trip to Yemen. 0.2. And those are the only ones they haven't killed yet. Does anybody see the folly? Hey, look at Vatican City. Sarge, there's a good one. Vatican City. 100%. Everybody's saved in Vatican City. 100% of them. Oh, my Lord. You see it?
Hey, that's
going to
be a lie.
That's got to be a lie. You know why? They have ambassadors from other countries that are probably Muslim that are actually working in Vatican City.
Well, they all serve the same God, though, Sarge, so they're okay. Thailand. Joe wants to know Thailand, Silver Heels. He wants to know about Thailand. Let's see here. Thailand. Oh, yeah, let's go there. That's only 1.2%. 1.2%. Man, oh, man. Those poor nations. Let's go. Hey, let's go to South Africa. Let's go to the Sudan. Oh, yeah, we got to go to the Sudan. Let's get some missionaries in the Sudan. Well, they're already 60%. Oh, I'm sorry. That one. Oh, I looked at the wrong thing. I'm sorry. Maybe we need to go there. It's only 1.5. I've made my point, haven't I? Made my point. So you wonder why I want to scream? And none of these people, none of them went to Broad and High Street. None of them went to Jerusalem first. None of them are doing Jerusalem first. They're evangelizing inside their churches. But they won't go out. See, it's easy. Guys who came with me this weekend, you understand this. You want to understand what I about said. I call it mercy ministry. I love doing mercy ministry. We do bread ministry. We go do flood relief. We do that kind of stuff. I love to go help people. Man, I feel like a Christian every time I do it. But you know what I did Saturday? I was Christian too. And it wasn't fun. Wasn't fun. Got beat up, got beer thrown in my face. It wasn't fun. That's Christianity too. Yeah, Rod, you're on the air.
Oh, I was just going to add to your comment. I think you find that most go visit them and spend $60,000 to take 20 people there. You really look them in the eye and said, what do you need more than us white people come up for a week or so? Most of them would say, let us do it with our local. Send that money, your prayers, but don't come over. Just let us have our local people help us with the fund to help our local people.
Amen.
There,
I would agree, brother. I would agree. And so, but see, here's what really irritates me, Roger, is these people get a sense of sacrifice because they've done that. And God bless them if they go do it. And yeah, I'll raise $1,000 so-and-so can go over there. They're going to go over to Haiti and share the gospel with them in Haiti. No, they're not going over to share the gospel. They're going over to help poor people. And we think poor people aren't Christians. There are poor people in the inner city. There were spiritually poor people Saturday afternoon in Columbus. We've got no business. I'm sorry.
Roger, didn't mean to cut you off. I know guys going to deepest parts of China. Pull that up there, Jared.
China. Hey, Sarge, they ain't lining up to go to China. The missionaries ain't lining up to go to China. I tell you that. You know why they're not? Because it'd be dangerous, baby. It'd be dangerous. China. How many Christians in China? 2 to maybe 4%. Well, let's go there. Let's organize a mission trip to China. They seem to me they need it. No, we're not going to go there. It's cold. They may not like us. Oh, I'm on to this now. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to get away from this rest of the day. Dominican Republic. Let's go. Oh, we got to go there. We got to go down and help them build some houses. I'm not making fun of mercy mission work. Understand that? I'm not. Okay. Thank you, Lord. I'll do that. Thank you, Lord. I'll show you something else tomorrow. I got Sarge sent me a. Normally it's Tuesdays with Russ. But for whatever reason, my own fault, I didn't contact Russ today. Jared, I got a video on there. Dizdar starts at 57 minutes, 30 seconds. I want you to go there, Jared. I'm going to play this. I got this from Sarge. And the whole thing is worth watching. The whole thing is worth watching. This was Russ making a presentation last year out at Pikes Peak at a prophecy conference.
But beginning at the 57:30 mark, he's about done. I just want you to listen to this 5 minutes of what Russ has to say. Go ahead and play that, Jaron.
Silence and suppressing to the body of Christ. So I have four words in the last 2 or 3 minutes that I have this morning or this afternoon. And it begins with the word outrage. Now, I've seen the kids, I've seen the damage, I've seen the individuals. We've watched the slides, the bones, the blood, and the guts, and the mutation of humanity. We've got to see the glory of Jesus saving, healing, delivering, restoring, and bringing them back as redeemed, born-again individuals. That's the power of God in the context of all of this. But I'm outraged, not just about a White House that puts up multicolors, not just about the Supreme Court that in their irrational insanity made the decision they made. I'm outraged about that. I'm outraged about Planned Parenthood, blood-soaked Planned Parenthood. I'm outraged. I'm outraged about 27 million in human trafficking. I'm outraged 40 million worldwide in an 8-decade, 80-year-long project that'll go from here all the way to Armageddon. Part of the underground, part of that satanic agenda, part of what biblical prophecy, if it lights up our eyes, we will see not only the glories of God and Christ and our redemption draweth nigh, but what the world's going to experience in the next number of years. Outrage concerning so many still being lost. Outraged that so many are, you know, being sucked into the satanic agenda. It outrages me. It outraged David in the days of Goliath, when Goliath was on the field screaming, yelling, doing what he's doing. It outraged him so much, he just, in the name of the God of heaven, went running down to the field to bring a defeat to that satanic foe.
Wasn't very godlike, Christlike.
The rocks, the soldiers up in the rocks, they didn't experience the hand of God. They didn't experience the victory of God. They didn't experience the leading of God. Only David down on the field, engaging at all, experienced. Only believers filled with the Spirit of God on the field to soul win, to pray and to engage and to snatch some from the fire. You're going to experience the hand of God and the power of God in the midst of things. Stay outraged concerning the enemy. Get outraged enough to know the authority of God and want to be able to pray. Get your churches to pray 20, 30 minutes in the service with intercession and warfare prayer. You want to light up your service? I'm so tired of bored, boring, suppressed body of Christ services. They are caricatures of what the body of Christ is all about. Urgency. Now, we only have two seconds left. Urgency. Now. Now. You know, I was thinking about urgency this morning. And so I sit down here waiting. My friend, new brother in Christ, I just met Jerry, right? I meet Jerry over here. And here's a guy lit up, a soul winner. He gets down on his knee to tell me, man, the most important thing, soul winning. He's telling me how at 69 years old, he gets a jet ski, goes out on the ocean, does all these tricks, draws people over. And that one man showed up and said, God put you here. He led that man to Christ. Urgency in the body of Christ, in our mission agencies, in our boards and elder boards. Urgency in evangelism. Urgency in discipleship. Urgency in deploying 10 million believers like Philip in the book of Acts chapter 8. Purity, you better believe that all of the prophecies should bring purity to our lives. Watch out for the encroaching culture that we're living in right now. Watch out that you don't get sucked in. You got to know, like Daniel, when they wanted to assimilate him by changing his name, changing his clothes, changing his food, he was resolute. Nothing changed him, and he was 10 times better than the sorcerers in his understanding and knowing. And God worked in his life, and he became the huge window by which God engaged Babylon. Power, I'm not ashamed of the gospel in the front of all of Rome. Sacrificing Christians, burning them. I mean, Rome, emperor worship, pucatoriums, Bacchus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. You shall be clothed with power, and the Spirit of God shall come upon you. The Word of God, power. 2 Peter chapter 1, His divine power has given you everything you need. Listen, you can't live without the power of God. You can't be saved without the power of God. You cannot advance the cause of Christ without the power of God. So, amen.
You can stop there. You can stop there, Jaron. See, that's it in a nutshell, isn't it? That's it in a nutshell. We want evangelism to be fun. We don't want to go into the deep, dark spaces of America. We don't want to look in the basements, in the back alleys, in the public parks where sin is rampaging down the street. Oh, that's not very Christ-like. We don't want to deal with that. We want to go to Guatemala and build a cabin. We want to go to Guatemala and dig a well. We want to go to places that are already Christian and help them be richer, have the nicer things. And here in our own stinking Jerusalem, we turn a blind eye to everything that's going on because, truth be told, we're too afraid to stand up. We are, in fact, ashamed of the gospel. In Jerusalem, right here, it's easy to not be ashamed of it in Guatemala. It's easy to not be ashamed of it in Haiti. It's easy to not be ashamed of it in Fort Lauderdale. But baby, it's awfully hard to not be ashamed of it right here where I live. Because they know me. There's an association. There's a connectivity. There's a responsibility to do ministry right where you live. Greatest mission field in America, number one, is right in your own home. And number two, right in your hometown. That's what I'm about. That's what we're about. Making a difference here for my kids and my grandkids, not for somebody's grandkids in Haiti. Let them take care of their own grandkids. But because we have taken materialism and made the gospel material, made the gospel stuff, we think we got to run down there and help those poor people because they don't really have the glory of God. And I would say this, many of them are far closer to Christ than many of those who go and minister to them. Somebody give me a thumbs up. That was a good one right there. That's the line of the day. Thanks, man. I don't do it for applause. Hey, Vincent, good to see you today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to wrap it. What do you got to say today, Vince? First time in here.
You got it. I've been listening for a little while. I just want to mention my Twitter feed, not promotion. It's a C_A_N_S_T. And that stands for Children Are Not Sex Toys.
Amen, and, brother.
You got it. I've been finding these bastards since I've known how. And that's all. Thank you for everything you do.
So, Vincent, you mean you're fighting where you live, not in Guatemala?
I mean where I live, brother. You got it.
Are you kidding me? What are you doing, man? You need to go on a mission trip.
Once I take care of Brooklyn, I'll take care of the rest of the world.
Amen, brother. That, huh? Thanks for joining us, Vince. Hey, somebody help me close this thing up here today, huh? God, I had so much more I wanted to share today. I got so much more I wanted to share. We beat him up pretty good. People say, Coach, listen, you're so negative. I can't even listen to you. You're so negative. Well, stick your head in the stinking sand and live there then. Go ahead. You can stand before the Lord. You're going to give an account. Hang on, George. You're going to give an account for everything you did, not for everything that made you feel good. Go ahead, George.
You know, it's really all about personal responsibility. And it's easier to swim downstream and not be personally responsible. But the bottom line is, if we're personally responsible, we'll want to confront the evil that's going on here in our own Jerusalem.
Amen, brother. Jeff? You trying to get in here, Jeff? He's signaling something. I don't get it, man. I'm sorry, Jeff. You have something to say, Jeff? Can't hear you. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner right where you live. It must not suffer loss. Hey, JR, they're going to be able to let women get their boobies out in public streets in downtown Columbus, and there ain't one church going to do a damn thing about it. Not one church.
Amen. Look, it's helped to have you clarify, to give a better focus to what it is we should be doing. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees.
All right.
You served as a great guide this morning to show us really what we're looking at, the forest.
Amen. Hey, guys. Public ministry. Prophetic public ministry right where you live. Ain't fun. It ain't a vacation. It's what's most required of us at this time and this place where we live. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, not defeat unto defeat. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead till every foe is vanquished. And Christ is Lord indeed. Christ is Lord indeed. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
You got it.